you in Jesus' name, one that Peter was so excited about, and it was certainly inspiring to see Peter's admonition to us and how he viewed life and how we should view life as well. And he did get onto the subject of more of his grace to others show. And I want to talk about that this morning as well. I've been given an assignment somewhere on the subject of reaching out to others. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. I know y'all do well at that. And I'm so glad you do. And I struggle in some of these areas myself, but we want to look at these truths again and be reminded of them. You know, so we want to think about reaching out to others. You know, there's the problem of being stingy, of being selfish, of being greedy. The Bible calls that that problem. It describes it as an evil eye. And certainly it is an evil eye. And you can look into someone's face and you can see not peace and quiet there, but somebody thinking about themselves and taking care of themselves, an evil eye. And you can turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 15. Verse 7 through 11, we're going to start here. We're going to look at a lot of different verses this morning. Here in Deuteronomy 15, it talks about the evil eye. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 through 11. If there be among you a poor man, but one of thy brethren within thy gates, in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. We'll stop there. it's talks about, he's describing a poor brother that comes to you and wants to lend, wants to borrow something from you, whatever it happens to be. And in verse 8 he says, thou shalt surely lend unto him sufficient for his need. That's what you're supposed to do. Shalt surely lend unto him sufficient for his need. Reach out to him. That's what it's saying. Reach out to him. Reaching out to others. And why wouldn't we? Why? Because we have some heart issues here, don't we? In verse 9 it talks about, it says, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart. There it is. You know, we have this problem in our heart where we want those things, and we don't want to give them to somebody else. But he says, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year the year release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother. Now, what is it talking about, the year release? Well, Not only were they supposed to lend to their brother, but when the seventh year came about, your loan was gone. It was you had to release your loan, okay? He didn't have any more obligation to pay it back. And so if it was, you know, right after the year release and he came to you, well, then he had 7 years to pay it back. But what if it was he had a need and it was just 2 months until the year release, you know? And you're thinking, now if I wait 3 months and give it to him, then he'll have 7 years to pay it back, you know? And what does God say about that? He says, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart saying the year release is at hand. That's what God says about it, you know, about reaching out to others. And he talks about that wicked heart. You know, God was concerned about those heart issues way back there in the Old Testament. He certainly was. He said, thou shalt not covet. That's certainly a heart issue. Very much a heart issue. But here was this, he's talking about reaching out to others, and he says, beware that you don't have it in your heart this wicked thought that the year releases at hand, and so if I lend to him whatever it happens to be, he won't have responsibility to return it to me, and I'll be out. Aren't you glad you're not living under such a high standard that we don't have to do that in the New Testament? You couldn't even charge him interest when you did it. Anyway, so much for that. But we need to beware of our wicked heart, and that we do reach out to others. And part of that reaching out to others is addressed here in verse 7. Where he says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within thy gates in thy land. And right there's where we stop. And we say, yes, this is my land. This is my property. This is my money. This is my time. And you want it, right? Well, that's not where God stops. He says, within any of thy gates in thy land, and he says, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Aha, but there it is. He says, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That land that you're living in was given to you. And it is not actually your land. God calls the land of Israel. He says, that's my land. And that's one of the concepts we struggle with. I struggle with. It's my property. It's my money. It's my things. God says, when you get into that land, into thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Yes, it's God's things. It's God's property. It's God's land. It's God's money. It's God's possession. It's God's children. It's God's time. And if somebody wants to take some of my property, you know, immediately there's those thoughts rise up against it, you know. But they're God's things, and we have a responsibility to use God's things like he would like us to. And certainly one of those things right here in this passage is reaching out to others. And he tells us how we should do it. In verse 11, he says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand. He doesn't stop there. He says, thou shalt open thine hand wide, is what he says. You know, God pries our hand open, you know. But he says, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And so there we have God as he addresses this reaching out to others. Open thy hand wide. Don't give grudgingly. Don't give grudgingly. That's another part of it that he says here in verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. That's always a test to me. But it says, thy heart shall not be grieved. You know, you say, okay, God, I will do it. Because you say so. But that's not high enough of a standard. That's not, you haven't gone far enough. I'm sure God's glad. You're reaching out, yes? But he wants to go even farther. Thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God will bless thee in all thy works, and in all thou puttest thine hand unto. He says, you do this with a willing heart because God is going to be good to you. Because you open your hand wide. And that's what he says. So, yes, God talks about reaching out to others. He talks about that evil eye. That evil eye. And he talks about it in other passages as well. Proverbs talks about that evil eye in Proverbs 23, verse 6. And that evil eye meaning a stingy and a greedy and a selfish eye. Proverbs 23, verse 6. He says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. You know, he's watching everything you eat, and he's thinking, he's eating my food, and the more he eats, the less I have. You know, that, he says, don't eat his bread, because he's not going to appreciate you eating his bread. He's going to be grieved that you're there eating his bread. So he says, eat not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire any of his dainties, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. See? He says, oh, come, yeah, oh, you're here, oh, here, well, here, here, I have some, here, help yourself to some bread. He said, help yourself to some bread, but his heart isn't with you. You know, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yes, he's not being sharing and caring. No, he said that because it was the polite thing to do, and he was kind of in a trap. He had to say it, but he's watching every morsel you eat, and it hurts him. So don't eat. Don't eat his bread, the one that has an evil eye. Proverbs 28 talks about it as well. In Proverbs 28, verse 22, it says, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, or he's stingy, and he considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. And there you can see, very clearly see that having an evil eye is being stingy or greedy or trying to keep things to yourself, and is certainly not what you think of as reaching out to others. Stands in stark contrast to it. Now there's another phrase when it talks about an eye in Proverbs, and this is the good eye. Not the evil eye, but the good eye. In Proverbs 22, verse 9, it says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. He that hath a bountiful eye. This is not an evil eye, but a bountiful eye. And that's the kind of eye that God wants us to have. Jesus wants us to have. And, let's turn yet to Matthew 6. where Jesus uses this phrase, evil eye, and it has the same meaning here as well, of being stingy and not reaching out. In Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be evil, so that your eye be stingy, or you're a stingy person. Here, I said the eye be evil. It doesn't start off that way. Eye evil eyes later. Thy eye be single. That's the generous eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? Yes. Thine eye be single is talking about being generous, and thine eye being evil is talking about being stingy or in keeping things to yourself. If your eye is about yourself, being stingy, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. But if your eye is single, meaning generous, then your whole body shall be full of light. And that is certainly the context that Jesus is talking about. In fact, in verse 19, just a few verses up, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is not the place to lay up treasures, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves. I'm getting all mixed up, aren't I? Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, then I be single. If you're generous, the whole body shall be full of light. And so, don't lay up treasures here on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Reaching out is something that is a blessing to do. God reached out. God reached out to us when he made this beautiful world for us. He made it for us. He didn't need a place to stay, but he made a place for us. And he reached out to us. He certainly does reach out to us. Does God become poorer when he gives to us? And I've thought about that. I'd be glad to hear your thoughts on that. But he certainly has a bountiful store with which to share with us. But God does reach out. And it certainly does cost him something to reach out to us. Because God only reached out to us by giving us his world, but he reached out to us by giving us of his son. And that did cost him something. That certainly did cost him something. But he was willing to do it even to the death of his son. He was willing to give up his son that we could experience eternal life. And the cost, I'm sure we can understand the cost in its fullness, but we can certainly understand part of that cost, as he was willing to give up his son that we could find eternal life. He was willing to reach out. God reaches out to us. And this thought is shared there in 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11. It says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. And there it is. There's that connection. That connection that Peter makes, and that connection that John makes here. Beloved, if God reached out to us, we ought also to reach out to others. God is reaching out to us in many, many ways. In Ephesians 1, it talks about it. God reached out to us in Ephesians 1, verse 3, where it says, he has given us, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's so far above our head, we don't mostly catch it, kind of like Peter's admonition to us. But he's given us all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. It's not earthly blessings in earthly places. It's spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's what God has blessed us with. And he has adopted us in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He is reaching out to us. He's given us all spiritual blessings. He has adopted us, and in whom we have obtained an inheritance. In verse 11, he is giving us of his inheritance, heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. So God is a reaching out God, and he sustains us every day. He reaches out to us, and he sustains us, for in him we live and move and have our being. He reaches out to us, and he supplies our need. He supplies our needs. He reaches out to us. God is a reaching out God, and we need to be a reaching out people as well. We are called to reach out in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through 19, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." And this is what he says they should do. They should do good, that they should be rich in good works, that they should be ready to distribute, you could say generous, and they should be willing to communicate. And that doesn't mean willing to talk, even though they should be, but they should be willing to share is the thought there. Willing to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And that's the consequence. Laying hold on eternal life or not laying hold on eternal life. Because we as the children of God are going to reflect the image of God here. Or we should. We definitely should. And God is one who is reaching out to us, does reach out to us, does minister to us, and doesn't complain about it. Does it very, very generously. And we're called to do the same thing as well. And if we do that, and we're like God, he will give to us that we may lay hold on eternal life. That's just like what Peter is talking about. We have to have faith. We need to see the eternal things. We need to lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on the promises that God has given to us and rejoice in them. Receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we're called to be a reaching out people. I had to think of Dorcas there in Acts 9, verse 36. It says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." And so she was a reaching out person. That's what we want to be as well, a reaching out person. And when Peter came, she had died. And when Peter came in verse 39, the widows stood by him weeping and showed him the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She was a reaching out person. She was a child of God, and she was restored to life. We think of reaching out. When I think of reaching out, I had to think of the Good Samaritan who reached out to those who reached out to others. We see those who did not reach out in Luke 10, verse 30, this man had a need, and the priest came by, and the Levite came by, and then the Samaritan came by in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, putting in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He was reaching out. It was in his heart. It was a way of life to him. It wasn't just a new thought. He was reaching out not just to a fellow Samaritan, but he was reaching out very likely to a poor and a very needy Jew, very likely. But he reached out to him and he ministered to him. And Jesus says, simply go and do thou likewise. We are called to reach out as well. I'm going to look at six aspects of reaching out, or six groups of people we should reach out to, and certainly reaching out to people cannot be confined to just these six. There's always opportunity to reach out to others, and they'll be there at your doorstep, and if it's in your heart, you will take advantage of them. But we'll look at six people groups who we should reach out to, and the first is those who experience loss, disaster, that kind of loss. We should reach out to them. Well, Jesus says simply, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And having experienced loss, we should reach out to them. We have opportunity to do that, and many of you have taken that opportunity, and we want to continue to do that. Secondly, we should reach out to those who are lost, those who don't know God, and we should reach out to them and try to help them in coming to God. Jesus did that very, very much so. He came to save that which was lost, and he reached out to the lost. He understood what it was. He understood how it was to reach out to them. The proverb writer says, he that winneth souls is wise. And how true that is. He that winneth souls is wise. It takes a lot of wisdom to be able to reach out to those who are lost and bring them to God. Jesus did. He reached out to those who are needy, and they came to him and received him. Not all of them did, but many of them did. They came to him and received him, which is exactly what he was trying to do, which he was wanting to do. But in Luke 15, verse 2, it says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, speaking of Jesus, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He was going into the homes of sinners, and he was eating with them. Now, the Bible does call us to be separate from sinners. But Jesus was not, separate from sin, maybe I should say. But certainly we want to be, there's certainly the place of separation, certainly is. But Jesus was reaching out to sinners that they might be saved. He knew how to do that. And he would go and he would eat at their places. And he would talk with them and speak the truth with them. They knew he wasn't there to talk about their life of sin and to laugh about their life of sin. And to just, you know, they knew what he was there for. And he addressed the need, but they received him. And he spoke to the needs of their heart. And he was wise. And he could help them. And we need to have that same mind as well, the same mind as the mind of Christ, that we would be able to reach out to sinners or to those who are lost and be able to reach into their heart and to be able to help them to come to their heavenly Father. Jesus, though he was sinless, and he was sinless, he was willing to go and be with them. They didn't feel like he was somehow higher than them, even though they knew, many of them knew he was. He was willing to relate to them and speak with them one-on-one or at a supper or whatever, that they would be saved. But we need to reach out to the lost. Thirdly, we need to reach out to the sick, the infirm, the alone, the isolated, the imprisoned. I guess you could think of what James had to say, true religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to minister to them, minister to their needs. God calls us to do that. And certainly we don't want to be like Job's friends when we go and minister to them. You know, they were very, you know, they're obviously, I mean, you're sick, you're poor, obviously God is judging you. Is there any way I can help you? Well, the answer was no. There was no way they could help him because of the attitude that they came to help Job. We don't want to be like that when we go visit or share or talk with them. But try to be a blessing to them and encouragement to them and help them where we can. The fourth one, reaching out to others, is the I have the poor. We want to reach out to the poor. I had to think of what he had to say in Ezekiel 16, verse 49. We recognize this verse. Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. And then it continues on and it says, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That was also part of the iniquity of Sodom. She didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. We certainly don't want to be in the category with the Sodomites. But we are called to reach out to others. And part of that is to strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. God is looking for us to have to reach out just like he reaches out without reservation, showing love to us. And we need to show love to others. I'll just read those verses from Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. It says, not this the fast that I've chosen, we would much rather fast, but it's easy to do, and it's a deed accomplished, and it's done, you know, I've done it. But no, he says, is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that thou break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thine house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Those are the things God is asked, challenged them to do, and he challenges us to do as well, to reach out to those who are poor and needy. The next one I have in my list here, is number five, is the spiritually needy among us. Those who have, let's say, fallen into sin or heresy or something of that kind. The descriptions of the list could go on. But we need to reach out to them. And endeavor to help them. And Paul's advice, as he talks about reaching out to them, in Galatians 6, verse 1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And there he gives us an admonition on how to relate to those who he says are overtaken in a fault. He says, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Oh, the spirit of meekness. That we would be able to approach these individuals, we would relate to these individuals with the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, or understanding that we can or perhaps are tempted in the same areas as well, and we can fall as well. And it's so important for us to understand that we can. It's not that far removed from us. We can. We go in the spirit of meekness. Doesn't mean they will be restored, but certainly if we go with any other spirit, it will not work. It's easy to cut them off, to separate ourselves from them, and there might be some need for cutting off in some ways, but yet we need to go in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. I had to think of Jesus as he related to those who were needy, and particularly thinking of Peter, who had just cut off the high priest's ear, not expressing Christ's will at all in that, but there in Luke 22, verse 32, Peter was going to deny Jesus. He was going to deny that he even knew him. Peter had been with Jesus for how long? How did Jesus relate to him? Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Jesus went with Peter as he went through that experience. And there as Peter stood there around the fire and warmed his hands and denied his Lord, in the very presence of his Lord, there was Jesus there before the rulers, and there was Peter. And as Peter denied his Lord, and as Jesus was going through that experience of that trial, and Jesus heard that cock crow, he still cared about Peter, and he turned and he looked to Peter, because Peter saw what was in Jesus' heart then. Jesus was reaching out to Peter even at the moment of denial. He was reaching out to him. But I have prayed for thee, he said, here in this passage. Describing Jesus in Matthew 12, verse 20. It says, describing Jesus, it says, behold my servant, in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And that's how Jesus was. If there was that spark, just the smallest spark of human, of spiritual life, he would endeavor to breathe life into that spark and have it grow bigger. He would not snuff it out. A smoking flax, of course, a smoking flax was a wick that was burned away, and all that was left was just a little bit of it. And it was, instead of making light, it still made light, but it made more smoke than it made light. And those kind of individuals, that there's still light in them, but they make a lot of smoke, and they make it hard for us to breathe, and they burn our eyes. And we would just as soon stomp them out and get them out of our presence, because we don't like it. But Jesus said, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He will not snuff it out. He did not snuff it out. But he breathed, he tried to nurture that weak and feeble flame into a bright and shining light. And that's what we need to do as we relate to the spiritually needy about us. And the fifth group of people I want to talk about as far as reaching out to others is those from outside Mennonite circles that come to be with us. We certainly are glad for that. And but Paul gives admonition, and I'm going to turn to Romans 14. And I'm going to use verse 1. That might be out of context some, but it says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." The definition of who is weak in the faith is, of course, I think, very prone to our own definition. My definition and yours might vary quite a bit. But the thought that I want to have in this verse is to receive others, to receive them, but not to doubtful disputations, to have that mindset of receiving others, not looking for all the reasons why not, but for let's receive them and embrace them. The church at Jerusalem, as they related to the Gentiles. Well, I'll just turn to that passage there in Acts 15, verse 28. As they conclude their discussion there, the Jerusalem conference there, they say this: "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." As they related to the Gentiles, as the Jews related to the Gentiles, they said, "We're not going to lay any greater burden on you than these necessary things." We'll try to keep the burden of our burden upon you as small as possible. That needs to be our viewpoint as well. It's easy for us as relate to those who come in among us to think that if we just get a covering on them and plain a cape dress and a plain suit, then wow, we've got it accomplished. Nah. I mean, we're glad for that, but they are looking for the people of God. And if we are critical and caring and proud, thinking we are the ones who have the way of God figured out, then we will drive them away. And so we want to reach out to them and be able to help them. Well, what is the blessing of reaching out? There's certainly many blessings to reaching out, and blessings. Reaching out, of course, is things going away from us, but there are many blessings that are there for those who have learned the life of reaching out. In Proverbs 11, verse 25, he says, "The liberal soul, he that reaches out, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Be a reaching out people. God is looking. He's watching every day to see if you are a reaching out person. Someone who is reaching out and helping those around you. Having a heart that is concerned about those about you and willing to do something. In Matthew 25, verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye reached out and gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye reached out and gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye reached out and took me in. naked, and ye reached out and clothed me. I was sick, and ye reached out and visited me. I was in prison, and ye reached out and came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Certainly we have a responsibility to care for our own, but we also have a responsibility to reach out to others. It's certainly not the recipe for accumulating earthly riches, but it is the recipe for laying up treasures in heaven. Reaching out to others. I think it was Marie's dad, father, who said, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. Certainly a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package, and a very unhappy small package at that. Having to reach out to others is not just a part, a continuation of the dreary Christian life. No. That is not it. It is a privilege. Is it an opportunity? It is an expression of our joy, and it is a blessing that we have that we can do it. It is actually the seat of joy and happiness when we learn to reach out to others. Lord bless you as you continue to grow, as you continue to excel in that gift. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we kneel before you, and we give you our thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are a wonderful God. You're a great God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, and yet being so powerful and so great, you minister to us, you reach out to us, you have reached out to us, it is your pleasure to minister to us, and you do so, so well. Continue to lead us, Lord, in your way. Lord, that we would be like you. We would be perfect even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. That we would be a people that reach out to others. That joy of reaching out would be in our hearts and in our lives. And that peace and joy would just be bubbling over as we embrace the opportunities that you give to us to reach out. Continue to guide us in your way and in your truth. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. And help us to grow up, Lord, more and more in your likeness. Thank you, Lord, for others that excel in being a blessing to those around them. Continue to guide us, Lord, as a congregation. And I want to say thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the hope of heaven, for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved, guarded in heaven for us. Someday, Heavenly Father, if we're faithful to you here, we can rest with you in all your glory, in all your power, in all your love. We want to be a part of that blessed number, Lord. And continue to guide us, Lord, in that way to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.